Good morning. This is the California Report. I'm Adi Bolaños in San Francisco. The Washburn Fire in Yosemite National Park has grown to more than 2,700 acres, and it's producing extreme heat, causing huge plumes of smoke in the area. But at a community meeting Monday night, fire officials remained hopeful that they could protect a grove of giant sequoias. KVPR's Sarith Hawk reports.
Operations Section Chief Matt Ahern says crews are holding a line around the Mariposa Grove, where the fire is burning on the outskirts.
It has backed a little ways into that, but it hasn't backed intensely into the grove. We have people going in there, cleaning around the bases of the trees, eliminating the residual heat and so forth.
One of the most well-known trees in the grove is the grizzly giant, estimated to be around 3,000 years old. Close to 700 people are assigned to the fire, says the park superintendent Cicely Muldoon.
The only benefit of having this fire so early in the season is there aren't a lot of other fires going on, so there's a lot of resources available.
An evacuation order remains in effect in the nearby community of Wawona. For the California Report, I'm Sarith Hawk in Fresno.
On the hottest days in California, there are around 8,000 more daily ER visits than on typical days. In LA County, it's more than 1,500. That's according to UCLA's new heat maps that show just how much hot days are harming our health. KCRW's Kaylee Wells has more.
It doesn't mean that more people are dying of heat. More likely, the heat is exacerbating someone's existing heart disease or asthma or diabetes and forcing them to go to the emergency room. Obviously, the hottest and most populated places are seeing the most ER visits. In LA County, that includes the Antelope Valley, the eastern San Fernando Valley, and parts of South LA. But principal investigator David Eiselman says that's not the main problem there.
I think it has more to do with the baseline conditions in the community that are social and health and economic than it does to do with temperature. Because you'll see two communities right next to each other that are about the same temperature, but have vastly different effects.
And that means a bigger racial disparity too. For example, the rate of ER visits on extreme heat days in Leimert Park, where the population is 80% black, is four times what it is in Rancho Park, which is primarily white. For the California Report, I'm Kaylee Wells in Los Angeles.
And now, an update to a story we told you about last week. The city of San Diego is starting the process of firing about 10 more employees who refuse COVID vaccinations and tests. KPBS investigative reporter Claire Tregesser has been following the story.
San Diego requires all employees to be vaccinated for COVID, but let about 1,000 employees skip the vaccine for religious reasons. Those employees then have to get tested weekly, but a small group refused that too. Records obtained by KPBS show the employees said testing violates their religious beliefs because the swabs are sterilized with a carcinogen. But medical and religious experts say those concerns are baseless. Now the city is starting the process of firing about 10 more employees, bringing the total to 52. That includes 20 police officers. The rest are from the Teamsters, fire, and municipal employee unions. This is the beginning of the process. The employees will still go through a negotiation with the city and their unions. For the California Report, I'm Claire Tregesser in San Diego.
A new report finds Islamist, white nationalist, and other extremists on social media are bubbling with genocidal hate memes about Hindus. For regions with large Hindu communities like the San Francisco Bay Area, the real-world security concerns are substantial. As KQED's Rachel Miro reports from our Silicon Valley desk.
The report comes out of a new cyber social threat center at Rutgers University, and this particular research effort was led by graduating senior Prasidha Sudhakar.
Given that anti-Hindu disinformation is vastly understudied,
Rutgers students worked in collaboration with the Network Contagion Research Institute to identify explosive growth in anti-Hindu slurs and slogans in the U.S. starting last fall. This was on social media platforms you'd expect to foster extremism, like 4chan and Gab, but also mainstream platforms like Twitter, TikTok, and Telegram.
These very specific tropes are targeted right directly at Hindus, depicted as these like weird and dirty, disgusting people.
Sad to say, there's a spike in hate speech whenever someone rises to prominence from a community that's historically been the target of prejudice. One recent example comes from San Francisco back in November.
When Parag Agrawal was appointed as Twitter CEO, immediately there were rises in anti-Hindu disinformation on social media, spikes in certain ethnic slurs that were used specifically against him in particular.
But Sudhakar and her colleagues discovered something surprising about the anti-Hindu hate speech surge on the climb since last fall. Much of it can be tied to Iranian state-sponsored trolls keen to exploit long-standing tensions between Muslims and Hindus, Pakistanis and Indians. And also, the Iranian campaign borrows heavily from a playbook used against Jews online.
The common thread here is the use and abuse of social media.
John Farmer directs the Miller Center for Community Protection and Resilience at Rutgers, part of the collaboration that produced the report. He says recent attacks demonstrate that real-world violence commonly follows hateful memes, hashtags, and such. He adds Hindu temples need to reach out to groups already working to protect themselves, like Jews and Sikhs.
So that there's a clear chain of what happens. If something does come down, there's somebody detailed to respond to press inquiries, or somebody identified as their liaison to law enforcement. The threats can be mitigated, even if they can't be completely stopped. But the communities have to be more willing, I think, than they have been in the past to actually reach out to other faith communities and other vulnerable populations to find out what they've been doing.
What about content management on social media? Why are they so flat-footed, so unfamiliar with Hindu phobia? Experts at Rutgers and beyond agree tech platforms need to reach out directly to targeted communities of all kinds to become culturally competent and then expand what their machine learning software is looking for. For the California Report, I'm Rachel Miro in Menlo Park.
And that's the California Report for Tuesday, July 12th. We're a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm your host, Madi Bolaños. Thanks for listening and have a great day.
Support for the California Report comes from the Wesley Foundation, investing in California's underserved youth. Paint Care, now with 834 drop-off sites in California where households and businesses can recycle their leftover paint. More at paintcare.org. And Eric and Wendy Schmidt through the Schmidt Family Foundation, working together to create a just world where all people have access to renewable energy, clean air and water, and healthy food, on the web at theschmidt.org.